Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve Fishkin, aka Steve the Scout. I am one of the hosts of the Pro Football Scouting Show, just a part of Pigskin Nut Radio, here with Austin Smith. Austin, how's it going today?
Oh, good, good, man. We're talking receivers today. I'm disappointed Patrick's not here with us, man. Get the receiver team on it today. This is the most fun we have. I got my Andre Johnson on today. Where's Patrick Chiodi at? My goodness.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to give him a hard time because you know, Patrick, one of our writers, you know, currently plays wide receiver, and you know, he's been having a lot of fun, you know, early on scouting and evaluating these guys. So yeah, it'd be good to have him back. But you know, who we're talking about today? We're going to be talking about DK Metcalf because you know, I think that Metcalf is one of the hardest players you know, that's going to get drafted in the first round to figure out for a number of different reasons. This show is part of Pigskin Nut Radio. Pigskin Nut is the football news that you've been missing. We give you coverage on all 32 NFL teams, every major college football conference, NFL draft news and player breakdowns, as well as scouting reports, X's and O's articles to teach you the finite details of the game, fantasy football, and of course, Pigskin Nut Radio. For more information, you can follow us online at pigskinnut.com or any social media outlet at Pigskin Nut. So, Austin, you know, we're talking again about DK Metcalf, and here's you know, the way, you know, I saw him first and kind of where my head is at, you know, with him right now. When I saw him first, I'm like, man, this is a guy that to me the only thing he can do is run straight, and that's more so based on what I saw, because at the end of the day, you know, you got to dig deep into the guy's tape to see him do more stuff, you know, outside of running a fly route. You know, you got to dig deeper into the tape. And when I look at Metcalf, to me, you know, the stuff that I love that you loved is he's got that incredible straight line speed. You know, he's got great play strength. But for me, you know, I didn't see him run, you know, he didn't see him run a lot of the routes that you want to see him run. And then I thought about it, you know, let's go back and look at Calvin Johnson at Georgia Tech. You know, what was he asked to do? Does his tape look similar? And as I turned it on, I am seeing a lot of similarities between them. And, but I'll tell you that the biggest difference that I see is that Calvin Johnson, even at the college level, showed me a lot more, you know, as a route runner. And Calvin Johnson, I feel, utilized his size a lot better. See, I feel DK Metcalf, he's 6'3", and he's hulking. But I just feel there's something that says to me he could be using this size a little bit better than he is right now. And he's only winning because of his size, whereas, you know, a guy like Gronkowski, he uses every bit of that size. And that's one of the things that does concern me, is that, you know, we don't have a lot on tape to see what he can do with his route running. So that's why I say he's really, really hard, you know, to gauge with that. But what he is a fast twitch athlete. And where do you see him beat you? You see him beat you deep because within the first 5 yards, you know, he's going to be tough to deal with, just from a speed and a play strength standpoint. And if he wants to take the top off your defense, you know, you're going to have another safety accounting for him at all times. He just has that kind of speed. But, you know, I see him do, when I turn on the tape and look at him and Calvin, I feel like Metcalf has the potential to do some of the stuff that we've seen at the pro level from a guy like a Calvin Johnson or Julio Jones, but still on the college tape, you know, he doesn't really put it together the same way. Now, one thing that I will say is that, you know, I don't want this to sound like that I'm saying he doesn't use his size at all, because he does a great job stretching his hand. He makes some circus-like catches. He can box guys out. I just feel that he just doesn't utilize those abilities to the maximum, like a guy like you saw from a Randy Moss coming out of college, or a Calvin Johnson. So to me, you know, I think in terms of route running, we've really yet to see what he's gonna be able to do, because we can't really say he's overhyped, because he hasn't been asked to do a whole lot. Now, what it looks like is that every single play that he's on, you know, he's playing backyard football. I'm gonna beat you with play strength and my speed, and there's not really a game plan to it. And I think that, you know, you can't really fault him for that, because it's obviously, you know, what he was asked to do. So, you know, when he gets to a pro team, you know, if he has a, hopefully he has a great wide receivers coach, because there is a lot of really good clay that you can mold there. I just think, you know, he hasn't been pushed to do some of the things that he'll need to do at the pro level. And you got to remember, guys like Calvin Johnson, guys like Julio Jones, they don't always they make their money off of 3, 4, 5 good routes. So DK Metcalf can certainly do that. So we can't say because he doesn't run the full route tree, you know, there's plenty of dominant guys that are not the top route runners, you know, in the game, but they know how to utilize their size. I feel that if DK Metcalf can learn how to utilize his size a little better, not to say he's not utilizing it now, because like I said, you know, he does utilize it, but I'd like to see what he can do once he starts to really start focusing more fundamentally on some more advanced route running, because I feel if a coach takes the time, you know, to mold this guy and help him with those things, you could be getting an absolute monster out there. Now, when we get back from commercial break, we're going to have Austin chime in and tell us what he thinks about DK Metcalf and what he sees going back and reviewing the tape. And we're back. Austin, I know you have a first round grade on DK Metcalf. Listening to what I'm saying, are you seeing some of these things, or, you know, talk to me about where your head is at after I spilled my guts here a little bit about my DK Metcalf impressions.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's start with some of the flaws, because, you know, we mention him in the same sentence as Julio Jones, a Calvin Johnson, guys like that. And I think the upside is there to be that, but he's not exactly, you know, what I would consider up to that level. You know, it's easy to dream about the upside, you know, being that good. And especially in a wide receiver class where I don't have another wide receiver with a first round grade, not Marquise Brown, not AJ Brown, not Harry Samuel, Butler, you get down to it. I personally think Metcalf's the only one that I would consider a good value in the first round. So, I mean, I think maybe because of that, we kind of, you know, we negate some of the flaws, at least for me, because I really like the guy. I think he's got so – I see some Josh Gordon in there, and I've even had some people tell me even maybe a Demaryius Thomas makes sense too. But, you know, with Metcalf, you know, you're right. There's not a lot of route running savvy. And, you know, I think it all starts first and foremost with the experience. I mean, this is a guy he's played 21 games in 3 years at Ole Miss. I mean, this is not a guy we got a very big sample size on. I mean, that's what scares me, I think, the most about Metcalf and Josh Jacobs as well, as guys, the sample sizes just aren't very big for either one of them. So, you know, yes, we see the positives, but are there some hidden negatives in there? Now, for an optimist,
it's tough to see.
I mean, there, for an optimist, there may be some hidden gems in there that we don't know about. And like I say, I looked for that in DK Metcalf's film. You know, I knew he didn't run a ton of routes while he was at Ole Miss. I mean, he was kind of a one-trick pony. And, you know, I think that we kind of compound that when we look back at the combine workout and we see the poor agility numbers, you know, based on the rest of his workout, which is absolutely phenomenal. And you say, gosh, you know, okay, so he didn't run a lot of routes. Some of these things that we measure to see what kind of route runner he can maybe become, you know, don't look good. So maybe there's never going to be a route runner. Maybe this is a Demaryius Thomas where it's a very, very simple route tree and it's very, very easy to understand how they're going to get him involved in the offense. Having said that, you know, I'll start here. There are signs that this guy can be a solid route runner, and even better yet, gain separation in the route. And I've been on this bandwagon since everybody, you know, the people that loved him touted his combine workout, the people that you know, didn't care for him, you know, jumped on his agility numbers. I said, guys, let's take a look at explosion. The cone drills, we're not necessarily seeing it like we want, the ability to sink those hips and get in and out. But what about the 10-yard split out of that 40-yard dash? This is a guy that went out, and I mean, he had the best 10-yard split of any player at the combine. And oh, by the way, you know, we look at some of the athletes like Paris Campbell who were in that conversation. We look at Andy Isabella. We look at some of the corners, you know, that just had outstanding workouts. I mean, it's impressive to think that this guy at his size is getting started that quick. And so you go back and look at the some of the other numbers. We go back and look at some of the numbers with last year's class. You know, Denzel Ward, the fourth overall pick, corner for Cleveland, you know, he was the top guy. He didn't put up a 10-yard split like DK Metcalf did. He did not come out of his stance and explode off that line like DK Metcalf did. And I kept digging at it. I finally found it here to where now, you know, any route or any combine runner in the database starting in 2003, they haven't found a quicker 10-yard split than his 1.45. So, I mean, I take a look at that and I say, guys, this is a guy who can win off the line of scrimmage without needing to be 228 pounds. He doesn't have to necessarily. We talked about that with Hakeem Butler and N'Keal Harry. They're not quite as explosive right off. They've got that build-up speed. So, I mean, these are guys that have to be a little bit more physical at the line of scrimmage. They have to utilize their size and their arm length. This is a guy who may not need to do any of that just because of his initial burst off the line. So when we get to talking about the route running things and getting in and out of those breaks, I agree with you. I don't know if he'll ever excel in that area, but the corner may be, you know, maybe so, you know, trailing so much that it doesn't quite matter like it matters when they're, you know, tattooed right there on your hip. So I look at DK Metcalf and that makes me think, you know what? That could be a hidden factor that helps him be a more than serviceable route runner. Now, the other thing I'll say is this, and I want to say it was the Tennessee game, and I'd have to go back and watch my film on it. I think it was the Tennessee game where they threw him not one, but I think two hitch routes in the red zone where he scored untouched. Now, I want you to think about that, guys. We throw a lot of fade routes to these big receivers when they're in the red zone. We throw a lot of slant routes to them in the red zone. You don't think about a lot of guys running a 3-4 yard hitch route where they literally catch the balls at a standstill and have to then turn back up the field, make a guy miss and get into the end zone. He does it twice, and more importantly, he goes untouched. This is a guy that literally 3-4 yards slam on the
brakes. I saw that play.
Make the catch.
Sideline play, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And it's like, bud, you know, you've got to have the ability to sink your hips and get stopped and then get started again. I mean, that is, you know, those are plays where you want the quarterback to get it out. You want that guy to square his shoulders up to the quarterback and immediately have it on him. That way he can turn up field, and now it's you and me, the corner, one-on-one. You know, I'm trying to get to that end zone. I'm going to make one move, and you better mirror me. Otherwise, I'm getting into that end zone. And but like I say, the DB's not even touching this guy. I mean, it goes to show me that there might be some ability to do it. Maybe he's just not that polished in that area. Maybe it's not the fact that he can't do it. But like we said, you know, this is a guy that was a one-trick pony.
What can you turn him into?
That's because,
you know, it goes back to what can you turn him into? And at the end of the day, you know, like I said, we don't even really know how great he could be because he just hasn't been coached and he hasn't
the sample size and the limited role. I agree. And you know, it's tough when you got a guy like AJ Brown there and they're constantly trying to feed him the ball in the slot. I mean, it's tough when you got a guy like Lodge on the opposite side. I mean, there's not enough balls to go around. So, I mean, and Knox, the tight end, he's a guy in this class that
Knox is a gamer.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, guys, you know, there was a lot of balls that needed to go around. And, you know, it's tough because DK Metcalf, it's easy to say, well, then why wasn't he force-fed the ball? Well, that's simple. He wasn't on the field that much. I mean, 21 starts in 3 years because of injury issues. So, you know, there's a fine line between whether he's capable of doing it or whether or not he's not capable of doing it, you know, because, you know, either could be true at this point based on the history we've seen with him. I mean, this could be a guy that you're right. The skill set doesn't add up for a guy that's going to get in and out of his breaks quick enough. But there's some evidence there that could show that, yes, maybe he can. Maybe he needs to be coached at it better. Maybe he needs to do it more, be asked to do it more. So that'll be real interesting. Now, on the positive side, I mean, first of all, you know, you look at the size and the long speed and that initial burst off the line. I mean, my goodness, if you're a defensive back with his size, speed, and burst, if you're going to come up and press him, you better darn well get a piece of him. You better get a chunk of him because if he gets by you on a free release,
he'll take the top off like that. You always got to.
I mean, then you're at the mercy of whether or not the coverage on that particular play had a safety helping you over the top. I mean, it's hoping the quarterback, you know, doesn't see it. But I'll tell you right now, you know, with as much as quarterbacks are doing now pre-snap, and I hate to say they predetermine routes because I don't think they do that, but I do think they predetermine matchups when we get into some of these scenarios. And I'm sorry, I'd be scared to death as a defensive coordinator to not line up a receiver on his side of the field and have a corner pressed up in man-to-man coverage. Because if I'm a quarterback, to heck with the play that was sent into the huddle. We're going to change this up now, but you're going deep. Everybody else protect quick routes on the other side, and we're going with that matchup. And I'd be scared to death as a defensive coordinator to put a corner on an island with him. That's how I feel about it. This is a guy, and there's not a lot of guys in this class that I feel that way about. But if you're going to leave a corner on an island with a guy like DK Metcalf, you are going to pay.
Yeah, and you know what I feel is a problem, and it's not his fault. I feel, you know, the game has been so dumbed down for him the way he's been asked to play. It's almost like, you know, I think in some ways, you know, the game is less fun that way. It's like, all right, I'm just gonna do this every single play. Where I think a lot of the route running finesse, I'd love to really see someone challenge him to do that at the next level, because I think he'll find a different love for football because the game is just so dumbed down for him. I'd love to see you know let him learn a couple crossover moves and some nasty route running tactics. I mean, I'd just love to see what he can do with that. And the game is gonna have to, you know, he seems to love football now, but I think he's going to like the game more if someone can push him in that direction.
Oh, and absolutely. And the creativity of the offensive coordinator, you know, that's going to be something where, you know what? You could have some fun with a guy like this. I mean, let me ask you this. You send this guy on a maybe like a jet sweep type motion. And as opposed to faking him the jet sweep, you know, you turn around and you fake it to the running back, and then you come up almost like a bootleg style play where this guy's now on a speed out and you're getting the ball in his hands. And now you're asking defensive backs, a guy at 228 pounds that can explode the way he can from stop to go and can get up to a 4.3, you know, 40. Who's going to enjoy tackling that? I mean, you know, especially with all that speed built up back there. Yeah. You know, we've seen that with a lot of these guys where, you know, that's always been more traditional with a fullback or a tight end to run these bootleg naked routes, you know, to a guy in the flats. But we've seen some creative offensive coordinators do it with receivers, physical receivers or even speedsters. And I tell you right now, do that with DK Metcalf. Get him comfortable with, you know, going in motion and that kind of thing, making the catch and turning the field. Get him comfortable doing those things, and guys are not going to enjoy tackling him. Throw him some tunnel screens. You know, the jailbreak screens is usually what I've always grown up calling them. Throw him some of those. You know, throw him some crossing routes where they're shallow crossing routes and you're literally just trying to get him, you know, the ball moving full speed. You know, so there's a lot that could be done with his skill set. Now, once again, we say it was dumbed down for him. Was it dumbed down for a reason? You know, interview process. If I'm a scout or a receivers coach and I'm getting him in the room, I want to know, hey, man, you know, talk to me about your playbook. Let's hear, you know, talk to me about the anatomy of running this route. You know, what's how do we want to stem it? How do we want to break the corner's cushion? How do we want to do things like that? You know, what's the end result? Where do I have to get across the corner's face, or better yet, keep him on my back hip? You know, where's the body positioning? Where's things like that going? So, you know, let's really find out, is this an intelligent guy? Maybe it was something, you know, because that could be a hidden flaw. Maybe it was something where, you know, Dez Bryant in Dallas, early in his career, I mean, there was a lot of issue with him understanding the playbook, understanding the anatomy of the route, and being able to play this game intellectually like a wide receiver has to play it. So, you know, that could be an issue too, but I look at the positives. And like I say, the size, the thing I love about him with the size, you know, I don't know if he, you know, he's got that necessarily. And we see him go up and win some contested catches. I don't know if he was asked to do it. I mean, a lot of times when he got deep, it didn't turn into a contested catch because the DB wasn't there to contest it. He was in a chase mode. But, you know, is he as good in that stance as a Harry or a Whiteside, Arcega Whiteside or a Butler? I don't know. But once again, we don't have the sample size to really give us an answer. You just have to kind of use your imagination and hope. But what I do see from him with his size that he takes advantage of is his arm length. And this is a guy who is comfortable extending his hands to the ball. He is comfortable catching the ball away from his body. And he tracks the ball well. He's got big hands. He's made some circus catches during his time.
Great catch strength.
Absolutely. So that's another thing that really checks a box for me that I say, yes, I love that. So, you know, there's a lot up in the air about him that, you know, a team's going to have to get to the bottom when they're going to have to interview him. They're going to have to put him through some extensive workouts. They're going to have to, you know, to get with him and just really kind of fill in the blanks where the sample size has kind of left us wanting. But at the end of the day, you know, if this guy, you know, if he lives up to the type of upside and the potential he has, you know, he's the best wide receiver in this class, hands down. And, you know, and And one other thing that I wanted to bring up as a strength before I give it back to you, you know, let's not we keep looking for hidden gems, hidden, you know, meaning to some things. You know, how much body fat did this guy have at the NFL scouting combine? I mean, what was it?
1.9. They said it was 1.9, which is not 1.9%. which is not possible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, my goodness, that's, you know, I told that to a buddy of mine who's in the Army. He said, you know, I'm not sure if you can
live
that way. That's what I was going to say. But here's my thing. We're talking about a guy that apparently takes care of his body, you know, so, you know, is this a guy who could reshape himself? Does he need to be 228 pounds? Absolutely not. You know, he's got the burst off the line and the speed to where, you know, what would happen if he slimmed down to the 215 range? Would the agility step up a notch? Would he turn then into, like we say, maybe a little bit more of a Julio Jones as an athlete or a Calvin Johnson as a pair compared to, like I say, maybe a Demaryius Thomas where he's just a straight line speed guy? Would we see that? You know, there's evidence there that, you know, that – you know, if this guy really does, you know, take care of his body the way – I mean, it's not like he just started prepping for the combine and all of a sudden turned into a physical freak. I mean, we could see it the very first tape we ever watched of him. Wow, this guy's a specimen. This is a guy that excels in the weight room. He excels in the conditioning program. And, you know, who knows, maybe his metabolism is just working on overdrive. But it certainly appears to me that diet-wise, he takes care of his body enough in order to be in that kind of shape. So, you know, that could be a hidden gem in there that a lot of people don't discuss. So there's a lot to like about, and there's a lot to use your imagination and dream about, you know. And I just think it's too high for him to get out of the first round. It's too high for me to take another receiver ahead of him. You know, so that's where I stand on it.
All right. And we're going to take our last commercial break. When we come back, you're going to hear from me and Austin. Where does it make sense for DK Metcalf to get drafted to? What teams is he a good fit for? We'll be right back on the Pro Football Scouting Show. All right, Austin. So I'm going to give you my two teams really quick that I think make a lot of sense for DK Metcalf based on, you know, where he's going to probably be drafted. I'm looking at pick 16 and 17. I'm looking at the Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants. You know, look, I think we got to see how Cam Newton does this year coming back from the shoulder surgery. People gave him a hard time last year because of his ball velocity. And I'm like, geez, you know, he just had shoulder surgery. Have you, like, ever had an injury before? You know, like, oh, Cam's done. No, he just had shoulder surgery in the offseason. It's a human body. So, look, but Cam, you know, he does well with a big target. You know, that's going to help him a lot. And he's never had, you know, Devin Funchess, you know, doesn't have DK Metcalf's ability. But you know, I'd like to see him with a big target. They need that in Carolina to go along with DJ Moore, who I think is going to have a great NFL career. And it makes sense for the New York Giants because look, you know, he's not, you know, no one's going to replace Odell Beckham Jr. But if you go back and look at Eli Manning's history, he does well with taller receivers.
Absolutely. The best chemistry he ever had was with
Plaxico Burress. That was the best chemistry he's ever had. Eli Manning is a better quarterback with a bigger receiver. And when you look at what the Giants have right now, they have Sterling Shepard, who they can line up in the slot. They can line him up outside too, but he really fits best as a slot receiver. Evan Ingram is essentially another wide receiver, but you know he's going to give you he's a big body too, but he just does it. He gets it done in a different way than DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf, look, let me just say this: Eli Manning can still throw the deep ball, maybe not as well as he used to, but this is we're not talking This is not the decline we saw from Peyton Manning at the end of his career. He's not there yet. Eli Manning can deliver the ball to him. To me, the Carolina Panthers and the Giants make the most sense. With taking our last minute on the show, Austin, give me a couple teams that make sense for DK Metcalf.
Gosh, that's tough because I could name half the first round. I mean, there were times this year where I said, guys, Jacksonville, Detroit, Buffalo right there on a line could even, you know, start to consider him. I've backed off that a little bit. You know, I've gotten past, you know, the Miamis, the Washingtons. I've even kind of gotten past Carolina and New York where you're talking. But I tell you right now, I look at what's going on in Seattle and Russell Wilson just it almost seems like his good years are being wasted with a receiving core, an offensive line that's just not getting the job done. And I know Doug Baldwin's a terrific receiver, but he's had so much injury history the last few years, and it's just, you know, they've got to give
Tyler
Lockett's him something.
Tyler Lockett's fast, but he's not a physical presence.
Absolutely. They've got to get him a target that can just be an
I
constant
like that.
Threat.
Seattle makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense.
Yeah, Baltimore with the next pick is where I've actually got him going in my latest mock draft. And then you look at that, the next two picks with the Oakland Raiders. Boy, you know John Gruden would just love to get his hands on a guy like this and pair him with Antonio Brown. And my goodness, if Derek Carr is going to work, you can bet your rear he's going to work with a receiving core like that. And even Indianapolis, my goodness, Andrew Locke, you know, I know they got Devin Funchess, but you know, I mean, there's just so many teams, but Seattle, Baltimore, man, those are going to be the two that I really look at and say, man, if he gets past that, then people are not seeing what I'm seeing. And maybe then I have to question my ability to evaluate. But I just cannot see, you know, a team like Seattle and a team like Baltimore, you know, with their issues at receiver, letting this guy get past them.
Absolutely. And the last thing I'll say, and then we'll wrap up, is that, you know, Seattle makes sense because, like you said, Russell Wilson, you know, as you mentioned, you know, he's just never really had that big target. And please, no one say he had a Brandon Marshall because, you know, at the end of his career. I knew someone would be like, well, I had Brandon Marshall. And then Baltimore, because look, Lamar Jackson has a great throwing arm. He really does. But you know, you need a bigger target who can now. I think there's guys that adjust better to routes. You know, you want a big body that can adjust to routes. I think there's guys that can adjust to routes better than DK Metcalf or poorly thrown balls. But when you want to talk about just, hey, you know, I need a prayer and throw it up, you know, that's a guy that you want to throw it to. So.
Baltimore probably faced more 8-man boxes than any team in the league last year. If you've got DK Metcalf lined up outside, an eight-man box is going to put you in big trouble.
Yep, absolutely. You have to in the NFL. The one thing that we can guarantee in the NFL is that if you're press corner does not have 4.4 speed, you better be having a safety watch him the entire football game. This is Steve the Scout with Austin Smith. We are the Pro Football Scouting Show, signing off.